Tonight, I do want to talk about a topic of God's calling, which is a lost beauty in Christian churches, in the lives of Christians. Often we talk about it, but we do not know exactly or clearly how we should understand it. The English word vocation misleads us a bit when we think about calling, because vocation is often related only to jobs for our living. However, when I use it today, I mean it as a calling from God. One of the reasons I'd like to talk about this particular topic is that it is one of those forgotten concepts, even within Bible-believing circles. People choose things because they like them. They have lost the skills to think from God's perspectives. People are needs-oriented, even Christians are needs-oriented people. Thus, their question is, are my needs going to be met by this or that? Even in the service of God, they are constantly asking the same question. By serving the Lord in this way, am I going to be able to meet my needs? Is this church going to meet my needs? Is that pastor going to my needs? I'm sure that if what we have chosen or decided are the things of God, our needs will be met. However, to the people of God or to the church of God, the foremost important question should not be whether my needs are going to be met, but instead on whether God has called me or called us to do this or that, or to go there or go here or come here. The concept of the calling of God has been so weakened in the hearts and the theologies of Christians today. Thus, there are so many disloyal Christians to God and His causes, and it seems that churches are filled with volunteers for God's work, but there are not many people who are called by God to do the things. So they volunteer. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to volunteer to take care of this matter in the church or take care of that matter in the church. And so when they volunteer for those ministries or services, when they do not like to do them, they quit. They disappear. That's the reality of Christian churches today. There is no idea, there is no concept of calling from God while they are even serving the Lord. Thus, there are so many disloyal people to God and to His churches. They are only self-oriented. As employees are looking for better working conditions and better paychecks, so Christian workers are searching for their better remunerations and better work environments. Where is the concept of God's calling these days in Christian churches? Who cares about the will of God? Are we worshiping here because we know that it is His calling for us to be here today, or we are here because it is convenient, or our friends are here? Then, when we do not feel convenient to be here anymore, and when our friends are not here anymore, then we leave. And that is the way that we Christians behave these days. I am who I am should be a result of God's calling, and people have lost that. I'm formed and conformed by His calling, and that conviction is gone. I live and die by His calling, and that idea is not in existence anymore. Where is the sense of His calling for us to be here and to do what we are doing? You know, even I think when we are looking for a pastor, sometimes we do this. Paul said that we should not walk by sight, but by faith, and oftentimes we want that sight. We emphasize on what we like to do and what we dislike to do, rather than what the will of God toward us is. It is quite interesting to see how In fact, Isaiah responded to the calling from God. Probably you are very familiar to the calling from God toward Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. At chapter 6 verse 8 says this, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I." It is interesting, send me. God says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then Isaiah says, "I, here am I, here am I." Then he did not say, "I will go." But instead he said, "I will go." He said, "Send me." That is a calling. But I think these days the ideas of Christian workers, ministers, or people in general serving in Christian churches, their idea is that, well, I will go. If you go, then if you do not want to continue, then you will stop. But if God sends us to go, then until He says come back, we'll have to stay on, right? That's the concept of God's calling. Before we are going to study the text, let me take you to Paul and his thinking about his awareness of calling from God. And we'll read his mind and faith. Let me read a few passages from different parts of his epistles. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 1, he said this, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God." Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus Christ, by the will of God." Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. "Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." And verse 4 says this. Galatians chapter 1. "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior." 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus." We cannot think of any ministry or any Christian life without deep thinking about the divine calling. I'm a pastor according to the will of God. I'm a pastor called by God. You are here, and I do not know what sort of notion of Christian life, Christian vocation, Christian confession of faith you may have. But if you do not have the sense of calling, divine calling from God to be here to serve Him, I tell you that you are going to experience a lot of discouragement and you may want to quit. It is because you do not have that notion of God's calling. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 to 13 is one of the most fascinating and important passages if we want to understand the calling of God. First of all, this passage of the scriptures teaches us that there are reasons of life, reasons for living. I may say that these are the purposes of life. These purposes are given to us and we ought to be able to find them. In other words, these purposes are much higher than our inner feelings or inner thoughts. At the same time, they are given and offered to us according to Paul here. We have reasons for our existence. We are not a product of accidents. In a larger scale, obviously, all of us do have purpose of life, which is to glorify God. However, as individuals, we have different purposes of life. in smaller and more detailed scales. Our lovely God has created a new heart within us. We are adopted into His family and we are one in Christ Jesus. However, it does not mean that we are the same in all aspects, as we have different faces, physical features, and different personalities. So we have different callings from God. In verse 1, in chapter 3, the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul said this, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." We need to pay attention to the phrase, "for this cause." Paul is talking about the purpose of his life. More specifically, he became a prisoner of Jesus Christ with a purpose. We need to be reminded that Paul wrote this letter from a prison, which is the reason that the epistle to the Ephesians is a part of the prison epistles. The reason that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ was because there was a divine calling for him to be a prisoner. What a sensational message it can be. He was called to be a prisoner. There was a cause behind his imprisonment. His life was neither meaningless nor aimless. It was not by chance that he became a prisoner. And he was an excellent apostle of Jesus Christ. So if he did not have that calling from the Lord, I'm sure that he was desperate, he was in despair, and he was discouraged, and he was probably even doubting about God's work in his life. God, I have given my life to you. You called me, and you sent me here and so on, but somehow I'm in prison, and I cannot figure out why you just threw me into this dungeon. If he did not understand the calling of God, probably his Christian life was so miserable. If Paul did not understand God's divine calling, he could have been in deep despair in that miserable prison. He had more reasons to be in despair than probably most of us. In fact, all of us. Isn't he an apostle? Isn't he a faithful man? Then why did he have to spend days, weeks, months in prison? Again, verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." In other words, there was a purpose that he became a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The last part of verse 1 says that to become a prisoner of Jesus Christ was on behalf of or for the sake of the Gentile believers. We often relate the calling of God to our happiness. So while we are serving the Lord within certain capacities, if we feel content, if we are happy, then we say, oh, this must be God's work. But suddenly, then mood is being changed and we feel very sad. We are not happy anymore. We are discontent about this and that. Then we say, we'll quit. That's not the criterion or criteria of the calling of God in our ministries. When we feel happy and supplies are abundant, we feel that we are in God's will and fulfilling the will of God. In this regard, if we think carefully, Paul was not a happy man because he was in pain, but we know that he was not outside of the will of God. He was in Christ. Paul was a man called by God for specific reasons, even by becoming a prisoner of Jesus Christ. One of the questions that people often ask me is about God's will for them. This question is closely related to the question of God's calling for each of them, obviously, God's will. This question becomes more serious when we are in troubles and unhappy mood. How do we know that God has called us for specific reasons? Or is there any way that I can find the calling or will of God in my personal life? What does God want me to do? We have so many ideas about God's will, but are not sure of any one of them. Or we are wondering why we are in certain circumstances in which we feel completely lost. Is there any thought that may help us to understand the calling of God? Well, this is something that I'd like to share with you this evening. I'm going to talk about God's calling for individuals. First of all, based on the text we read from Ephesians chapter 3, we must recognize that God calls His people. God calls His people. The word vocation comes from a Latin word which means summons or invitation. God invites someone to do something. It is a simple definition of vocation or calling. Os Guinness said, in quote, calling is the truth that God calls us to Himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and dynamism lived out as a response to His summons and service, out of quote. In this definition, Os Guinness not only defines the meaning of calling, but also the responses of people who are called by God. On God's side, there is a definite plan for us. On our side, a complete surrender is absolutely required and demanded, in fact. There is a sense of absolute and complete devotion to the calling and the caller. William Perkins said, in quote, vocation or calling is a certain kind of life ordained and imposed on man by God for the common good, end of quote. His definition seems to imply that God's calling is even irresistible. One simple understanding of a calling is that there is a caller and there are people called by that caller. This simple truth is well elaborated throughout Ephesians chapter 3. Before we are going to have more in-depth study about God's calling from this particular chapter, I must make sure that you understand that it is always an honor to be called by God. By nature, God is not lack of anything. God does not call us to meet His needs. If you think by doing something, you are showing some favor to God and you are meeting the needs of God, you are greatly mistaken. He is self-sufficient and He is unchangeable. God is the only being who does not need to depend on anything and anybody. Therefore, we should never think that we do respond to His calling just for His sake. Rather, God calls us for our sake. It is for our benefits, though at times it is hard to see it from that perspective. If we want to understand this point more clearly, in fact, we need to study about happiness and virtues we must have. And I'm not going to touch on that particular subject today. Verse 2 from Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses again from Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, so if you can follow me, think about these verses. Verse 2 says this. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word. The first part of verse 3 says, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. Verse 5 says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 7 says, whereof I was made a sinner, made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Again, verse 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is one common lesson we may be able to see from all these verses that I have read so far. This is the lesson that I want to emphasize throughout this message, the calling of God. Then what is the main emphasis? What is the kind of common thing we can find from all of these verses? If you are a careful student of the Bible, you will know that basically here in all these verses, Paul is passive in all of those verses. And God is actively working within Paul's life and ministry. And that part is being emphasized. Verse 2 says that the Ephesian believers had heard about the administration or dispensation of the grace of God, which is closely related to his apostleship here. And he said, it was given unto me. It was given to Paul. He didn't volunteer for this. Of course, opportunities are given to him, and he said yes to the Lord. But in depth, there was a divine calling, and this grace was given to him. If we can serve as a pastor, if we can serve as an elder, if we can serve as a deacon, or whatever capacity we have, Sunday school teacher, and so on, that privilege was given to us. It was not Paul who sought after this honorable office within Christian churches. It was neither Paul's goodness nor his talents that had enabled him to be an apostle. We all know that he was an enemy of the gospel message before. He was one of those most radical opponents of Jesus Christ before his conversion. Then one made him a precious apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul explains it to us in verse 2. He says, this grace was given to me. It is a calling. He was not simply a volunteer, but only a man who obediently responded to the calling from above. Here we must know and learn that we are found for the calling. The calling is not related to our own achievement. It is not even related even to our planning or expectations. Paul says in the second part, the last half of verse 2, that this calling or vocation was for them, the Gentile believers. It is also an interesting point. Quite often, we see God's calling from our selfish point of view. So while we are serving the Lord, if something comes to us as a burden, then we say, something must be terribly wrong, then we quit again. But in fact, because of the calling, Paul was in a prison. We always tend to relate God's calling to our personal happiness, satisfaction. Thus, if we do not get any benefits from our services to him, we begin to doubt about his calling. I have to give this much time, I have to give this much effort, and I have to do this and that, and it seems that I'm on the losing side. And what can I get through my services unto God? There is no concept of calling. That's why Christian churches are being empty. That's why so many people are departing from the truth. Paul was in prison, but it was the calling for him from above. Paul was called for the Gentiles. Verses 3 and 5 say that Paul could not have known of the mystery of God without his divine intervention. The revelation of the mystery of God was made known to Paul. Paul did not know the mystery, but it was made to be known to him. Again, the passiveness in Paul's spiritual knowledge is very well explained. Paul was only a recipient, and it is God who made it known to him. Thus, again, it emphasizes that the calling or vocation is coming from the Lord. In verse 7, there are triple emphases on the nature of God's calling. First, Paul says that he was made a minister. Did you hear that? He was made a minister. He did not make himself a minister. We do not make ourselves as elders. We do not make ourselves as deacons. If there is an office given, that is a calling. He said, I was made a minister. He was not a worthy person. He was not a worthy person. He was a persecutor. He was an oppressor. He was a murderer, in a sense, by saying yes to those death sentences and verdicts on the believers of Jesus Christ. It was not he who made himself as a minister of God, but he was made a minister. Second, being a minister of God was according to his grace. He said, according to his grace, which was apart from Paul's talents, even his willingness to serve or skills. Third, Behind Paul becoming a minister of God, there was the effectual working of the power of God, according to this verse. Again and again, Paul does not give us any hint that him being a God's servant was because of his talents, but the effect of God's calling. Again, verse 8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul humbles himself in this verse by saying that he is the least of all saints. Not just apostles or prophets, but he says, all of the saints, all the children of God, amongst all of them, I am. Amongst all the believers of Jesus Christ, I am the least. He says that it is his privilege, which is a fruit of God's grace, that he is able to preach the message of Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. Even preaching was a visible manifestation of the grace of God in Paul's life. He didn't say, well, I studied very well and I prepared myself very well to preach the gospel message and so on. But he said it was grace given to me by God that I am enabled to preach the gospel message. Or of grace. God calls men and women in even today for his divine purposes, which gives them the reasons to live. We may be weak and feeble, and we may feel lost at times, and we are in sometimes undesirable places quite often, I guess. We may be in trouble and begin to wonder what we should do and why God doesn't interfere in our life with his obvious presence. But I think we need to listen to the truth of God. God calls us to be where we are and who we are. And God has a purpose for our existence. God is calling you and me as individuals. We ought to find a calling in life. As Paul was in prison, so other faithful men and women were sick, tortured, and killed in various places for the sake of his calling. It is because of God's mysterious calling. There is a reason why I think you and I are here in the London BPC today. There must be a reason why you have been serving in this church. And there has to be a caution here as we are thinking about God's calling. Sometimes we use the teachings of God's calling not to do certain things they do not like to do. So there are a lot of areas we may be able to help out, and we may be able to do the things and so on. And sometimes the leaders are approaching to different individuals and asking them, would you like to help us out in this area, in that area, and so on. They are saying, we'll pray about it. But quite often, I'm not sure how many people are saying it sincerely and faithfully without being ashamed before the presence of God. Oftentimes we say, we'll pray about it. That's simply an excuse. That is a really terrible excuse. I will pray about it before God. Obviously, when we make our prayers, we are praying. We are saying the words to God. But obviously, there is no intention in our hearts that we are going to pray about it. But simply we say, we don't like to do it, but we'll pray about it. So we pretend ourselves as if we are super spiritual. But you know, there are things called as Christian duties. We do not have to even pray for them. If duties and responsibilities are given to us, then there is no reason for us to say we'll pray about it. There is no reason to pray in order to know whether it is God's will for us to do our duties or not. Duties are duties, and we have to just do it. You know, for example, let me suppose, this isn't just an example. Let me suppose that, one of the toilets is terribly unclean. And you say, Lord, is it your will for me to clean up the toilet? It's not a matter of prayer. Just go there and clean it up. That is our service to him. And we have responsibilities to look after his properties and so on. So God calls individuals. Secondly, to find God's calling really enriches our life. God desires nothing more than to infuse our hearts and minds with a sense of meaning and purpose. If there is anything that an understanding of vocation should provide, it is a vision for life itself. The sense of God's calling motivates us to serve Him more. However, the heart of our calling is not to something, but to someone, somebody. The ideas behind calling is that whatever our occupation may be, it is to be elevated to an expression of worship. That which could be pleasing to God if performed with excellence and integrity and heartfelt devotion. You know, sometimes, let me suppose that we have a doctor here and we say, oh, he's a Christian doctor. But sometimes I'm just wondering why he's been called as Christian doctor. Maybe in his doctor's office, he's behaving, he's acting, he's living just like other secular people. But simply as a doctor, he's worshiping in the church. He's been called as a Christian doctor. So there is a kind of division between his professional faith and his life, Christian life. If someone comes to church and if he happens to be a doctor, then we call him as a Christian doctor. However, Christian doctor is not a Christian doctor because he comes to church on every Sunday, but he serves God even in his work as a Christian. That's why he has to be called as a Christian doctor. It is a sense. There is a sense of calling. The power of God is the vehicle that enables us to serve Him. Thus, there is no excuse allowed in the work of God. In the Bible, all men and women were common people who, at times, did not wish to be in the work of God. However, it was God who made them all available for His work. It is extremely important for us to see our life from the perspectives of God's calling. When we know our calling, our life becomes richer and more abundant than ever before. Let me introduce you to a man named Branwell. And I read this man's story somewhere some years ago. Branwell was born in a very gifted and talented family. The Brontes family, of which Branwell was an only son, was an amazing literary family in recent history. The patriarch, Patrick, had three daughters, Anne, and Charlotte, and Emily. Patrick was brilliant and gifted, and was an author in his own right, but his daughters took the family's talents to unprecedented heights. Anne wrote The Tenant of Wilfell Hall, and Charlotte created Jane Eyre. Emily penned Wuthering Heights. To have one published writer in a family is very rare. To have two is virtually unheard of. To have four is without parallel, particularly when so many of their works became classics in English literature. But there was another member of the family, a son, Branwell, whom most have never heard of. He was considered the most brilliant, the most talented of them all in the family. Though a writer, painter, and gifted speaker, he could not see himself in such light. He saw very little opportunity for his life to take on meaning, much less significance. When he painted himself with three of his siblings, a portrait which hangs to this day in the National Portrait Gallery in London, the information says that, he went back at a later date and painted over his own face, leaving only his three sisters to be viewed for posterity. He then drank himself to death. What a tragedy it surely was. His talents and gifts did not give him any meaningful life. He could not see his life from God's perspectives. Despite all his talents, he lived a miserable life. But contrary to this man, Paul, a renowned scholar, and he was renowned for his knowledge, was in prison, but found a rich life in it. We now understand and know that our life will be richer and more abundant when we know and find the calling or will of God and fulfill it. Then we are wondering how to find a calling in our life.
The root of vocation is calling,
which means that we must listen. In other words, it is a calling that I hear.
Our primary calling is to look for satisfaction in our work and to discover how to bring honor to God through it. Calling is as much about how we are living and for what purpose as about what occupation we have. Or, as someone said, it is about knowing that here and now is what counts and is most important because it is God Himself who wants me at this time in this place. Vocation is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I cannot find any single case in the scriptures where people went on a hunt for their vocational niche in the light of their personalities or gift or experience. I had brought into the self-absorbed thinking that begins and ends with who I am in Christ. The people who were called simply lived their life in faithfulness and responded to what God had brought on their way. They submitted their gifts and abilities and investments and labor to Him alone. Though most profound vocational question is not, what should I do with my life? Instead, it is the more foundational and demanding question posed by Parker Palmer, who am I? Thomas Merton once wrote, in quote, "A tree gives glory to God by being a tree," end of quote. This sense of vocation tempers much of the current fascination with finding your spiritual gifts as the goal of God's call in your life. The biblical idea of calling means following whatever and wherever God leads. As Walter Brueggemann has observed, this sense of call in our lifetime or our time is profoundly countercultural. Further noting that the ideology of our time is that we can live an uncalled life, one not referred to any purpose beyond one's self. The tie between vocation and obedience is very undeniable, because basically calling or call or obey, those two words are quite closely interrelated. So in other words, the listening achieves its aim. Obedience is the response to calling. The voice calls and we say yes. It is not about our will, but God's will. It is not about personal fulfillment, but personal faithfulness. It is not even about our contribution, but our consecration. Therefore, beware of what you hear and to whom you listen. There is a book titled Bolden of Yale 09. I'm not sure if any one of you has read this particular book. It talks about a man named William Bolden who went to Yale University and later became a missionary to China. Heir to the Bolden Dairy Estate, he was a millionaire by the time he graduated high school. As a gift on the event of his graduation, Bolden was sent on a trip around the world. We are talking about early 1900s. During this trip, he experienced a growing concern for the hurting and the lost of the world. And so he wrote home to say, "I am going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." After making this decision, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible. Those two words are these: no reserves. He went to Yale and began campus-wide student movement to meet regularly, read the Bible, and pray. By the time he was a senior, 1,000 out of Yale's 1,300 students were joining together in these groups. All of this was set in the context of his call to foreign mission field and missions work, which soon focused on Muslims in China. After graduation, he was offered a high-paying job, but declined them all in order to pursue the mission field. At this point, he wrote down two more words in the back of his Bible. They are, no retreats. Then he went to Princeton Seminary. After then, he set sail for China through China Inland Mission, stopping first to study Arabic. But while there, he contracted cerebrospinal meningitis. In less than a month, William Borden was dead. He was 26 years old, but before his death, he had written two more words in his Bible. Beneath no reserves and no retreats, he had written no regrets. Calling means listening. Therefore, we ought to be careful about what to hear. Romans chapter 10 says that all hearing, our hearing, comes from the Word of God. If the Word of God touches your heart, listen to your inner voice and obey. The Word of God often speaks to our hearts, and we often resist them to influence, not to influence on us. God uses His Word to move and direct our thoughts and hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, listen to the Word of God and find His will for you. I think when I responded to God's calling, I went through exactly the same way. My first major was electrical engineering. And then God's Word really spoke to me very loudly. And I could not but think of God's ministry. And I said yes to the Lord in 1981 to go into the full-time ministry. So listen to the Word of God and find His will for you. So what you hear, what you listen to is very important. Secondly, I must say that the doors of opportunities are not opened by accident. And opportunities are being called as opportunities because they are not available all the time. There are times when those opportunities are available. They need to be actively pursued by our faithful services for God. We will not find His will by sitting idle and doing nothing. And we may say, God, what is Your will? Where is Your calling? And so on. Knock and it shall be opened. Our careers may be approached in the light of God's calling and passionately pursued as a way of worship. Beyond this, whatever we find ourselves doing is to be infused with the greatest core of all, faithfulness. It means that whatever I do, I need to do with my very best and to be faithful to the work given to me. God does not require us of something that we cannot do. And if we do His will, we will fulfill His calling too. And so I hope that none of us will lose those opportunities. You know, I saw Brother Daniel, right, doing floral work this morning, and I was quite impressed. And when I was about 21 or 22 years old or so, in my church, there was no one who was able to do these flower decorations and so on. And I do not have any artistic skills in me. In fact, when I was in primary 3, I painted a sun with black paint. So, in fact, my teacher hit me very hard because my teacher felt that, you know, I was not doing a right job and I was just doing something wrongly so terribly. And since then, I lost any interest in arts, in painting, in fact. Well, I do not have any artistic skills or things like that. But when I realized that there was no one who was able to decorate the flowers and so on, I decided to do it. So actually, I did floral decorations for my church for half a year. And I do not play any music. I do not know how to play piano. I do not know how to play guitar or even harmonica. I do not play any musical instrument. But in my church, there was a choir, but there was no choir director. And my pastor asked me whether I could be a conductor of the choir. So I did not know how to use my hands. But I said, well, if that is an opportunity I can use to serve the Lord, I'm willing. So I was a choir director for 2 years. Isn't that amazing? But you know, all of those services actually prepared me to be in the ministry of God. And the Lord has brought a lot of joy and obviously satisfaction to my soul. And that doesn't mean that there was no time for discouragement and so on. Those things are always there. But however, it was such a joy that I was able to say yes to God's opportunities. Some people are saying, you know, God, what is your will? And what is your calling for me and so on? Why are they neglecting opportunities around them? And that is not right. The people used by God are always faithful people, not necessarily gifted people. Think about Moses or Jeremiah. When God called Moses to do a great work as a leader to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, no, God, I'm not really qualified to do such a work. I do not know how to talk. I'm an eloquent person, and I am not the person to do the task. If you read the Jeremiah chapter 1, you will notice that Jeremiah declined actually the invitation from God. God, I am a child, and I do not know what to do, and I do not know what to say. Therefore, I am not able to do it. They thought they were inadequate for the calling from God. But in fact, it was God who enabled them to do His work. That's the beauty of God's calling. We are nothing, and we cannot do a lot of things. But after all, if it is God who has called us, it is God who is going to enable us to do the work given to us. You know, these days a lot of people are talking about talents. And so find your talents, find your gifts and so on. Think about the scriptures. Is there any person in the Bible who was chosen by God because of gifts? God says, I have found your gifts. I have found your talents in this and that. Therefore, I'm going to call you to do this or that work. No. Well, Paul says, I was made a minister. This grace was given to me. It was after God's grace that made him a servant of God. Therefore, how can we know the will of God? How can we know his calling? Well, this is one of the ways. Be faithful to God in your place and find all those opportunities and be faithful. Knowing God's calling enriches our life. We can find it by listening to God's voice, and we'll be able to find His will and His calling while we are being faithful to His leading and opportunities and open the doors by the Lord in front of us. Therefore, instead of going somewhere else to find His calling or His will, do something available before you, and God is calling you through those opportunities. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we do thank you for the divine calling. Father, we are not worthy to be called by you, but you have called us into the ministries, into different areas to serve, to work. We pray that you will help us to be faithful unto those opportunities given by you. And Father, help us to be sensitive to your calling by listening to your holy word carefully and paying attention to your leading and guiding hands, Lord. Dear gracious Lord, we are so grateful for the fact that you are the caller. If you call us to do different things, we know that you are the one who will enable us to be able to finish the work. Father, help us to be faithful unto death, as the scripture says. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.